Well, good morning to all of you. We are reading today from the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 8. I'm going to begin with verse 4, and I'm going to read through verse 15 of Luke chapter 8, a story that is found in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, a story that Jesus told that was a parable, and it's the parable of the sower and the seed. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along with me. If you don't, you're welcome to listen as we read from Luke chapter 8. One day Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. A farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on, and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died from lack of moisture. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. When Jesus had said this, he called out, "Anyone who has ears to hear should listen and understand." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. Jesus replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use parables to teach the others so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they look, they won't really see. When they hear, they won't understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those that hear the message, only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while and then they fall away when they face temptation. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of his holy word, and let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the opportunity that we've had to be in worship today. We give you thanks, Lord, for the way that your Holy Spirit has worked among this gathering thus far, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to work among us. Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And Lord, I pray that my words would be your words. And Lord, we ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts, that the words that you have for us today, we might hear and receive them with joy. And having heard them and received them, may these words be more for us than simply more information that we would store somewhere up in our brains. But God, we pray that you would transform our hearts and then transform our lives as we hear what it is that you have for us today. And all this we ask, dear Lord, is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we've offered this prayer this morning, saying, Amen. Well, I don't know what the opposite of a green thumb is, but I have it. I have it. I can remember the church that I formerly served was located in a rural area. And the first year that we were there, there was a man who said, "You know, you need to let me come over and plow you up some ground behind the parsonage so you can have a garden." I didn't have the heart to say that I didn't know anything about planting a garden. I didn't know what it meant to plant a garden. I didn't know where to start. But in order to avoid looking foolish and in order not to have to tell him no thank you, I said, "Why, sure, come over and plow. Plow the backyard up. If nothing else," I thought to myself, "it'll be a little less to mow." You know, a little less to mow. Well, he indeed came and plowed this little garden patch, and we had talked about what we were going to plant, what kind of plants we wanted to put out there, and we ended up putting out there green beans. We ended up putting out there yellow squash, zucchini squash, and the kids, we said, what do you guys want us to plant? And they said, we want you to plant some watermelons. So that was our garden. In that year, I found out something about gardening. First of all, we never got one watermelon, not one. So never promise your kids that you're going to plant something unless you're absolutely sure you know what you're doing and you can grow some, right? We had 6 green beans, and I'm not talking about 6 green bean plants. I'm talking about the whole year we got 6 green beans. Now, nobody told me that anybody could grow zucchini and yellow squash. And the reason I know that anybody can grow zucchini and yellow squash is because we probably had 40 bushels of each. So much so that I thought to myself, wow, I mean, we were making zucchini bread and we ate yellow squash in every form that you could eat it, boiled and fried and in salads and however you could eat it. And I learned that year that what I should have said to the man who offered to plow up the backyard is, no, thank you. Which is what I said the next year, no, thank you, that's not necessary. But what comes to us today in the gospel lesson that I've read to you from the Gospel of Luke, what comes to us today is a story about a sower who was sowing seed. It's interesting to me that there's no mention in any of Jesus's parables about this, which occur in all 3 Gospels, all 3 Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There's no mention of any plowing. There's no mention of any weeding. There's no mention of looking to find a good garden plot. All that the Scripture tells us is that the sower went out and he sowed the seed. He sowed the seed. He just went out, and wherever he went, he sowed the seed. And this fascinates me because I think that there's a story in here for us. You know, sometimes when we think about sowing seed, and when we think about this parable, when Jesus explained it, he said sowing seed is sharing the Word of God. Sometimes when we think about ourselves sharing the Word of God, when we imagine ourselves being the sowers, if you will, we think, well, I'm not sure that I know how to do this. It's much like me trying to be a gardener when I had no idea what was the first thing to do. And so sometimes when we think about sharing the Word of God, when we think about sharing the love of God, what we do is we go out and we want to make sure that whoever we share the love of God with, whoever we sow the seed of God's Word with, whoever we're talking to, that they're absolutely positively receptive to what's going to happen. Because if they weren't, we'd say, well, maybe we failed. Maybe we failed. So what we do is we try to find the perfect place, the perfect person, the perfect group of people in order to do this so that we can have maximum success. But the fascinating thing about this parable to me is that that's not what the sower did. He didn't go out looking for the perfect person to share with, the perfect place to share with. He didn't go out to look at the best place. He didn't go out and do soil analyses to try to find out what the best soil was. He just shared. He sowed the seed. He sowed the seed. That's all that he did. He didn't worry about where it was going. His job was to sow the seed of God's Word, to sow the seed of God's love, to share that wherever he went. Now, I'll tell you one thing that I found out that I'm pretty good at growing, and you may be pretty good at growing these too. It's these things called dandelions. I have figured out that, you know, while I might not be able to grow green beans or watermelon, man, I can grow some dandelions. So much so that I've often thought, you know, I wonder if I could pull these out and put them in a pot and start to sell them. Mary Noble talked me out of that, as well as my wife, Kim. She said, no, nobody's going to take those. Well, why is that? because you see these everywhere, don't you? You see these dandelions everywhere. When I was growing up, the man that lived next door to us, his name was Mr. Turner, and I never forget how many times my sister and I would go talk to Mr. Turner, because what Mr. Turner did on Saturdays and probably on Sundays too when he was off work is he would take a little small spade and he would go out and find every dandelion and he would carefully dig it up out of his lawn and he'd put it in a black trash bag. And I often thought about poor Mr. Turner because he was probably the only person, I don't know about the people that lived on the other side of him, but I know one thing that my dad did not do on Saturdays and Sundays and the time when he was off, he was not out in the yard scooping up dandelions. And I wonder how it made Mr. Turner feel whenever he would see my sister and I take one of these dandelions that had turned into the seed part. And we probably got really close to his yard, not paying any attention. And what do you think we did? Of course we did. That's exactly what we did. And I've been thinking about the lowly dandelion. I've been thinking about how it is that you and I can share God's love, what it is that we can do to really share God's love. And one of the things that we can do to share God's love, one of the ways that we are sowers, is what you saw when the kids were up here singing and what you saw on the video. Several years ago, early in my ministry, I served a church that had not had a vacation Bible school for some years. And we were talking about the possibility of opening up the church, of having a vacation Bible school, of inviting children into the church, and of sharing, sowing some seeds of love, the seeds of God's love. And I'll never forget, there was one guy who I loved and respected, but he said, "Why do we need to open up our church here and babysit some kids for 4 or 5 days? Because that's all we're doing. The parents are never going to come to church here. We're never going to see the kids again. Why in the world would we do that?" And you know, I wish I'd had enough foresight back then to talk to him about dandelions and seeds and to think about the sower and the seed. Because indeed, we could look at some of the programs, some of the things that we do as a church. We could look at these things and we could say, well, you know, all we're doing is babysitting kids. That's really all we're doing. The parents aren't going to come. None of the kids are really going to get it. Or we could say, our job is to sow seeds of love, God's love, wherever we go. And so, what we are going to do is this. That's what we're going to do. Because that's what God has called us to do. You see, too often I think we sit around and we go, well, you know, is this program going to work? Is this thing going to work? Will it work if I talk to somebody about Jesus in my life? Will it work if I share God's love with somebody? What if it doesn't work? And we focus on the wrong thing. Because the sower knew one thing that we somehow have forgotten. The sower knew that once the seed was gone, the rest was up to God. Amen? The rest was up to God. Any good farmer knows this. They do their best to cultivate their land, to make sure they get good seed, to find some fertilizer, do all these things. But they can't control the weather, they can't control the rain and the sunshine, and they sure can't control the growth. All of that belongs to God. And I think that if we hear what Jesus is trying to say to us, and it's interesting that Jesus said, "Let those who have ears hear, let those who have ears hear," that our job is not to look around for the very best place, the most perfect place we can to share Jesus' love, to make sure that that is the right place. Our job, y'all, is to be like this dandelion, and we're supposed to blow, and we don't worry about the rest of it. We don't worry about the rest of it. Because you see, you just never know when you share God's love where that might come back in a big way. This past Friday night, I took my wife Kim to see the Atlanta Braves in Atlanta, the baseball team. Kim has been a huge Atlanta Braves fan for a long time, and her favorite player was John Smoltz, the pitcher, the great pitcher. He's a great pitcher for the Braves for years. And Friday night, we got to see his number retired, and there were a lot of people there. And what fascinated me the most was John Smoltz's speech once he got through with all the accolades. And he thanked in his speech, he thanked his teammates. He thanked the owner who decided to draft him and bring him to the Braves. He thanked his coaches. He thanked all the fans in Atlanta, a place that he had decided to move and live because he had such a great, great run of years there playing with the Atlanta Braves. But what fascinated me the most was he said, "The last three people I want to thank are the most important, and they are the three people who were my team chaplains in the years that I was with the Braves, my team chaplains." And then he said this, "You know, I've done a lot, and I've had a lot of success, but what I really want more than anything else is that when I get to heaven, for my Lord to say to me, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant.'" And I thought to myself, somewhere, in John Smoltz's 45 years of life, somebody shared some seeds with him. Somebody shared the seeds of God's love with him, and they germinated. They germinated somehow. I don't know if it had to do somehow with the chaplains that he thanked. I don't know if maybe he'd been going to church since he was a young man. All I know is that when he had the opportunity to thank whoever he wanted to thank and to talk about what was most important to him in this life, he chose to say, "I hope someday to hear the words, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" And what's most impressive to me about that is that it's not uncommon to see athletes talk about Jesus a lot, is it? We've seen it. Talk about Jesus and to say praise Jesus with every other breath. What impressed me the most about what John Smoltz said was the fact that it wasn't about necessarily everybody else, but it was about, hey, this is my faith and it's important to me. And I've got to let you know that it's important to me. And doggone if he didn't go, you know he did. 35, 40,000 people there. And he didn't say, "Hey, you guys need to get in church on Sunday. Hey, you need to come and talk to me about Jesus." No. It wasn't that. All he did was sow a few seeds. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, that is what God requires of us, is to be seed sowers wherever we go. And we can't always see what that might happen. We can't always know what's going to happen when we share the seeds of God's love with others. All we need to know and all God requires of us, all of us, is that we sow the seed wherever we go. And I'm going to tell you, if we will take this challenge that has come to us in these words of Jesus, then the Christian population, followers of Jesus, disciples of Christ, in our neighborhood, in our county, in our state, in our country, and in our world, will be just popping up left and right like a bunch of dandelions. Just like a bunch of dandelions. We got to remember, though, that our job is to sow that seed and not try to say, "Well, this is not a good time for it. This is not a good place for it." Remember the story of the sower. He went out and he sowed the seed. Some might say, wastefully. Wastefully. You know, I could hear somebody, a critic, saying about this story, "Well, that guy was dumb. He should have found the best ground. What was he sowing? Well, he was sowing the seed wastefully because he didn't know where it might stick, where it might germinate, where it might need to go. And we need to love and share God's love wastefully and not worry about where it's going, but we just need to share it wherever and whenever we go, because you never know when a seed might germinate and it might change somebody's life. So may we all, from this day forth, may we be sowers. May we be people who are willing to love wastefully, to share God's love without concern about whether it's going to stick or not. Our job is just like the sowers, and it is to share that love wastefully, extravagantly, wherever it is that we go. May we never, ever hear this parable again without reminding ourselves, am I being a sower? Am I being a seed carrier? Am I being a seed sharer? And am I sharing God's love everywhere I go? Amen.